Let's do our questions first. Our questions first. Matthew 18:13-17. What is said, which reveals to us the church has some structure and is an organized body. Verse 17 specifically. What is said there? It says, we see the structure of it. Okay. During the week, as you're going through these questions, if you don't get them, a lot of them don't, they don't just jump right out at you. Go ahead and go through your lesson when you do that, and you'll actually see him, because these questions, you see him here, you're going to see him again in your lesson. So that's where you'll see what he's looking for. What he's looking for there is to tell it to the church. They brought it before the body. They dealt with the man individually. They then dealt with the man with two or three witnesses. And then he brought it before the body. It was a structure. It was a body. It was set up and designated. So the structure is that group. And again, in verse 17, it says, tell it to the church. Okay, Tuesday. Acts 9:26, 4:23, 5:12. As we compare those, the believers in the first century, we find it important to actually join membership of a local church. Somebody want to answer that one? Right, so it's a rough week. I don't have any volunteers at all. Yeah, I do. Where's Grace Moore? Okay, and that was verse what, Brother Moore? Okay, that's fine. That sounds like Acts 41, right? Is what you're quoting? 41, 42? Kelly Dye? Well, they are hard, and that's why I say when you're going through these questions, if you're not getting them, don't feel bad. Neither is a lot of the other people. Then go into the lesson, and you'll see where those questions are throughout the lesson, and then you'll see what he's saying there. I think what you're going to find, first of all, in chapter 9, verse 26, he is saved. I ought to write clearer. Paul going there, and he essayed to join himself to them in chapter 9, verse 26. And then in chapter 4, verse 23, we see Peter and John before the group punished. They left there, and what did they do? They went back, and they reported to the group. Peter and John, chapter 4, verse 23. They went to their own company, actually, the scripture says, and they reported what had happened. And they weren't complaining at that point. They were thrilled that they could be counted worthy to suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then chapter 5, verse 13, of the rest, dareth no man to join himself to them. People looked at that and thought, now this is a serious thing we're looking at here. These folks are under persecution. This wasn't a light thing. Oh, I'm going to join a church. Oh, I'm going to join another church. No, this is a serious matter. It was a serious matter then, even more so because of the persecution. And of course, thankfully, today we don't have the persecution that they had back then. But I dare say if I were to make a guess, that persecution is going to come to the church again. Muslims don't have room for us, we're an infidel. And if you leave Islam and you convert to Christianity, you're to be put to death because you've left the faith. There's no hope for you anymore. They're not tolerant of us. And maybe it seemed like when the early, when the New Testament Christians were persecuted, what happened? It grew. The faith grew. People were driven out, and it grew and grew and grew. But we're not persecuted today. And I don't know, maybe the persecution, although I certainly wouldn't look forward to it. Maybe that might be what is needed. Wednesday, 1 Corinthians 5, 9 through 12, we learn that the church is not responsible to judge those without, but rather whom? Okay, we got three answers, those within. Very good. Thursday, what picture is given of the church in 1 Corinthians 12, 12? Amen. Amen. There's many, but it's one. Very good. Excellent. Friday. The church is called the household of God in Ephesians 2:19. If the church is a household or a family, how are the members to treat one another? As fellow citizens. Very good. As fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Very good. Then Saturday, how is the church pictured in Ephesians 2:20 and 21? Okay, it's pictured there, verse 19, household of God. And then how is Christ pictured? Foundation being the chief cornerstone. Excellent. I was thinking our brick man would be here today, but he's not. Anybody ever watch them lay bricks? At least when I was younger, I assume they still lay the four corners first, right? They always build up those corners, at least when I was growing up and watching them. They always build up those corners, and then it just seemed like you could get other people to fill in, but those corners had to be right. Had to be right. Those guys had those corners dead on. Because that's what everything else was going to be built off of. It was so important that those be right. Okay, very good. Again, if you have trouble with your questions, go into the text and Google me or Gmail me. If there's a question I can answer for you, just Gmail me. I don't look at my computer a lot, but probably once a day, I would think. Or call me, whatever. But go through that. It's an excellent opportunity for you to get understanding, for you to hide God's word deep down in your heart. Okay, turn with me to Acts 2:41. Remember your memory verse for next week? Work on it. Start working on it on Monday. 25 times, two, then 20, then 15, then 10, then 5 throughout the week. And by the end of the week, you should have it. If your verses tend to slip like they do with me, then reinforce them by going over them once a week. 7 weeks after that, put them in a monthly schedule, and then once a month, go over them. But really, that first week, if you were to do that regularly, you'd be surprised. You'll have that verse by the end of the week. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. We'll read verse 41 through verse 47. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. There's your memory verse from last week. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and they sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking of bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. As we're going through our series of becoming a first century church, we see he's talking about a revolution back to the Bible. Instead of in our churches today, we see a lot of new this and new that, and it seems like not a lot of it has to do with the scriptures. The Bible is our final authority of all matters of faith and practice. This is it. This is our answer. We get it here. We get it here through reading it. We get it here through praying to the Holy Spirit and asking His guidance. But this is where we get our answers. This is where it comes from. This week specifically, we're going through the structure of the New Testament church. How do you cover your mouth to clear the throat with one of these things on? The structure of the New Testament church. We need to see it here. We need to understand it, because then that will help us understand where we ought to be. Because as we look at God's word, ultimately, it's about, God, what do you have here for me? What do you want me to do to glorify you? There's a great deal of confusion concerning the church today. In following in your lessons, the word church comes from the word ecclesia, meaning called out assembly. Obviously, this is not it's not a building here. This is people. This is an assembly of people. In this passage, we learn a great deal about the church. We must be true to the message of the first century church and to the methods of the first century church. Means certainly may change, but our message and our methods must always be biblical. And we must continue to proclaim them. Somebody proclaimed them and that got to us. Now we then need to proclaim God's word and God's truths to others that they can be saved also. The message, not changing the message, not watering down the message. When people go to church on Sundays, I don't care what church it is, they ought to be hearing God's word. They shouldn't be hearing happy stories of wonderful people who did nice things. They should be hearing God's word. That's what they should be hearing. The message, the gospel. People need to be saved. And then secondly, then they need to grow up in the Lord. The distinctive of the first century church was its obedience to the word of God. Its obedience to the word of God. We must examine all things by the Bible. What does the Bible say concerning the church? When we consider passages, turn with me to Matthew 16, verse 13. Matthew 16, verse 13. You're probably actually familiar with that passage. How can it be 10:40 already? Matthew 16:13, I'm sorry. And we read there, 16:13. A familiar passage. We've seen this many times. Verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" We're familiar with this passage. It goes on, goes down through, and the Lord says, "But who do you say I am?" And Peter, in that great confession of Peter, that "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then Matthew 18, verses 13 through 17, dealing with restoring a brother and the steps that are to be taken there, first personally, then with two or three witnesses, and then to come before the body and accuse him before the body, accuse him from God's word before the body. And of course, the purpose is not for shame. The purpose isn't for punishment. The purpose is for what? Restoration. Restoration. That's what Christ did for us. He restored us. He made a way. So Matthew 18 is about the restoration of a brother. We do not find everything about the establishing of a church, but we do find much. There's much known about the church. We do understand that there is a structure of the first century church. There had to be some structure, or there could be no organized body to whom one could appeal then, as in Matthew 18. The distinction of the first century church was its obedience to the Word of God. The distinction of you and I, how are we different from the other Christians at work? It's God's Word. It's God's Word. They do what everybody else does. They swear. They do all the other things. They drink. They do all that. What's the matter with drinking? After all, Jesus changed the water to wine. I was talking with a guy last night. I says, when you consider leaven in the scripture, you tell me you think Jesus had leaven in that drink? I personally don't. When I see leaven from cover to cover in this book, leaven is looked down on. It's never held up as, hey, use leaven. It's the way to go. No, it's not what the Bible says. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, of the Sadducees, of Herod. But they talk the talk. He'll say, hey, brother, and he'll even know some scripture. But what is the difference? The difference is God's Word. We know God's Word. We obey God's Word. We try to submit our lives to God's Word. The mandate for the structure of the first century church, page 26. We certainly have been commanded by our Lord to go out with the gospel. Who? Anybody a Boy Scout? Were you ever a Boy Scout? Okay. Boy Scout motto is what? Be prepared. Be prepared. I was out with a brother the other day, and neither of us was prepared. I was in his car, and we had a perfect opportunity to talk with a man about the Lord Jesus Christ. I said, give me a track. Rifling through his car. Couldn't find a track. I wasn't prepared. I wasn't ready. I missed that opportunity. I couldn't stick a track in the man's hand because I was not prepared. We have to be prepared with the gospel. We have to be ready. I've often thought our front door needs to have a little pocket right next to it when somebody comes, knocks on our door. Hey, yeah. That probably wouldn't look good in your decor, I know, but it'd be handy. But be prepared. We've got to look for those opportunities. We've got to share those, take those opportunities. We've got to be prepared to go out with the gospel message. We've got to give clearly the message of salvation. Lead people as God leads them by His Spirit to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we are not to stop there. We not only to seek the salvation of the lost, we are to make disciples. And again, the second part of the Great Commission is teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Make disciples, growing them up. This pastor, with his printing ministry, there's a lot of stuff that people that need to grow up. You can get them. This guy's got stuff everywhere. Appreciate Pastor Cole and the printing ministry that he's got, that we all have here. But excellent opportunities to disciple people, to grow them up. In Acts 2, 41 and 42, and again, that's a section there where 3,000 souls were added to the church daily. This local assembly, this New Testament church, is made up only of people who have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. You're not a member of this church if you're not saved. If you're here today and you've not been saved, and you are a member of this church, today's a good time for you to repent of your sin and be saved. Because the church is made up of believers. not just of people wanting to feel good on Sunday morning and acting like we've done our religious duty. No, we're to be Christians. We understand that in this mandate, we are also to obey Christ in baptism and continue in the apostles' doctrine, which was our memory verse, meaning that we are to follow the clear teachings of God's word. And to follow them, we need to what? Tell me. We need to know them. We need to read them. We need to read through them. We need to read through them. We might read through them different ways. We might read through them for our Sunday school lesson, but that won't be the only way we'll read through God's word. Then you read through it cover to cover, just in a Bible reading throughout the year. And what that does is that exposes us to a lot of passages we might never open our Bibles to. And the Bible says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable. And if we never get into Leviticus, and we never get into those hard books, and scrape the walls, and all that stuff, that's all Scripture to give us understanding of who God is and how God is holy. So in God's Word, and its clear teachings for us in our daily lives. The membership of the first century church, some consider membership in a local church to be unimportant. But look what the Bible says in Acts 9:26. Acts 9:26, and we saw there how Paul, we saw three things in our questions. Paul joined himself to them, and then we also saw that in Acts 4:23, to find those who have been persecuted and turned to they returned to their own company. Who was that? Peter and John returned to their own company and reported back about what the persecution that they had gone through and how they counted themselves worthy to have been persecuted for Christ. And then thirdly, it was a serious matter to join. You could be in persecution. This wasn't just a happy thing to do. This was a serious matter. 1 Corinthians 5:9-12, the Bible speaks of a group without and a group within. The testimony of those within the church is a testimony of Christ in this world. Mine and your testimony is a testimony of Christ to this world. This is why the sin must be dealt with inside the church. Somebody says we're hard on our own people. We expect much from our own people. If I'm walking wrong, you bring God's word to me and you accuse me before God, before his word. If I'm walking wrong, if you're walking wrong, if somebody isn't walking right, and I can remember one time praying in my kids, I was going to have to go meet a man and accuse him before God and before God's word. God, I don't want to do this. He says, Dad, why do you have to do it? Because the Bible tells us we have to do it. It's not fun. Walk in. What's the first thing the guy's going to say when you accuse him of something? Let me tell you a list of yourself, brother. Oh, well, that's what you get. That's what you get. And then you take that list. But we have to do that. Otherwise, what happens? The guy goes along into where? Into destruction. Don't we care enough about each other to accuse one another? And it's not a bad thing. You know, hey, I'm just not thinking right now. I need someone to come alongside and help with that. I lost my spot. Where am I at? Twenty-six at the bottom? Oh no, I see it. Okay, thank you, Sharon. The group within and without, thank you. A testimony of those within the church is a testimony of Christ in his world. This is why sin must be dealt with inside the church. The metaphors used to describe the first century church, the body of Christ, the household of God, and the building of God. You'll see those references there before you. This local assembly, 1 Corinthians 12:12, is a body. We have only one head, and that head is the Lord Jesus Christ. He leads us through his Holy Spirit. He leads us through his word. The household of God, Ephesians 2:19. Every local church is a family, a household. We pray for one another. and we care for one another. Then thirdly, the building of God, Ephesians 2, 20 and 21. The Lord Jesus is the foundation. The members are fitly framed together. We're built on the Lord Jesus Christ. No better foundation can any man lay. May we as individuals follow God's word and its structure of the church as his body. God's structure for the church is found in his word and is modeled by the first century church. May the Lord help us to understand his word and where he would have us to be in his church. Might we be seeking to be what he would have us to be in his church. Let's pray. Father in heaven, for your word, we're thankful. We pray that it would reach each heart here. Lord, might we understand your word. Might your Holy Spirit illuminate us. Lord, might we be prepared with the gospel. Might we not back down when a brother needs our help and our care. Lord, we love you. We again thank and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much for